We're gathered here today in God's house just to praise him and to lift him up. And I want to talk about a powerful God. I want to talk about his power, his majesty, and his sovereignty over our lives. So Heavenly Father, Lord God, we just invite you in. We desire your presence in this place, Father, just to feel your power, to feel your warmth, your closeness. And Father, I pray that all we do here today, all we say here today, is to bring glory to you and to lift you up. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you want to take your Bibles and open up to the book of Habakkuk, we're going to talk about a prophet today that started out wrestling with God and had some doubts, but then he ended up worshiping him in one of the best prayers that's written down in the Bible. He was a distressed prophet that was worried and complained over the unchecked sin in his country. In the first part of chapter 1, and then he was amazed as God spoke to him and disclosed he'd already prepared an instrument to judge Judah, namely the Chaldeans. Habakkuk was shocked, he was surprised, and he expressed his dilemma to God on what was revealed, and he waited for an answer. And the answer came in chapter 2 in the form of a dirge, or a taunt song that he wrote down. God instructed him to record it. Learning of God's just plan to destroy Babylon, Habakkuk bowed in humble adoration. You see, as humans, we can't grasp all that God has in store. We forget his sovereignty and his right to judge us and the instrument that he uses and how he brings us through it. So many times, we're just like this prophet, and we try to see things in our own human reasoning, and we doubt God, and we judge God if we go that far. What gives him the right? Well, you know, he has every right, because he is sovereign, and he alone is righteous, and he alone knows the plans that he has for us, not just as individuals, but as a group of believers, as a country, and as a world. His prayer in chapter 3 is one of the greatest in the Bible. It's like the pinnacle of the mountaintop that he went to after his valley of depression and doubting of God. So let's look at the first part of this prayer in chapter 3, verse 1 through 7. It says, a prayer of Habakkuk the prophet on Sigonoth. O Lord, I have heard your speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive your work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make it known. In wrath, remember mercy. God came from Taman, the Holy One from the Mount Paran, Selah. His glory covered the heavens, and earth was full of his praise. His brightness was like the light. He had rays flashing from his hand, and there his power was hidden. Before him went pestilence, and fever followed at his feet. He stood and measured the earth. He looked and startled the nations. And everlasting mountains were scattered. The perpetual hills bowed. His ways are everlasting. I saw the tents of Cushan in affliction, and the curtains in the land of Midian trembled. Well, that's the God I want to talk about. The God of might, the God of power, but also the God of righteousness and of mercy. Habakkuk had a prayer for revival and for mercy. And if we want God, if we want God alone can give us, we have to pray, just like this prophet. And if we want revival in God's house, his people must pray. Habakkuk records this prayer song of praise for God's people. It's a poem. It's a hymn that can be sang. The last word ends with, to the chief musician with my stringed instruments. We can take this chapter 3 and we can sing it as a song to the Lord. The revelation of God to Habakkuk the prophet has changed him. The circumstances hadn't changed. but the way the prophet viewed him has. He was now walking by faith instead of by sight and by his own understanding. He was living by God's promises and not by his own human reasonings. Originally, he was concerned with the iniquity and injustices as it affected the world around him and affected his personal life. He was concerned with the violence, the unjust, the iniquity, and the whole world and how God dealt with the world. But now that he encountered God in a fuller, deeper way, he understood. He became concerned about his relationship with God and God's glory. You know, us as a people, we look around this world and we complain on what's going on in the United States. We complain about the sin, the corruption, the natural disasters, the things that are going on around the world, in the world around us. We're worried about North Korea. We're worried about China, about Russia. We're worried about Mexico, about drugs coming up from South America. And kind of that's what this prophet was doing. He was worried about the sin that he saw around him. He was worried about the nation of Judah and their lack of respect. But after his connection with God, he began with words, a prayer of Habakkuk the prophet. He came to understand that God's ways were beyond him. But through faith and meditation, they became glorious to him. We can't sit here today and imagine what God's actions are going to be. But we can't worry ourselves with them. We must worry about our relationship with God, and he'll bring us to an understanding. Now, Habakkuk wasn't a passive spectator. He lived in this time. He was going to face the same coming judgment that God had revealed to him. And this stirred him deeply. It caused him to pray. And that's what I'm calling on all of us to do today. If we look around, we're no different than the prophet. We see the world around us and we worry and we're concerned. The whole world is our country if you get right down to it. We all serve the same God, or we should. And we need to humble ourselves. And we need to get down and pray, just like Habakkuk. It had a burden. Look in verse 2. He said, O Lord, I have heard your speech and was afraid. Lord, revive your work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make it known. In wrath, remember mercy. Habakkuk heard God's purposes to discipline Judah and then to destroy Babylon. And the report filled him with fear and apprehension. I don't know about you, but I have a little apprehension and a little fear about the coming wrath of God. We're all going to be judged for our sins, the sins of this world. There's no way around it. And it's coming. And we can react in fear, or we can react by getting closer to God and understanding his motivations. You see, his answer was beyond the simple human's understanding when he revealed himself to Habakkuk. And that's what I pray for me, and that's why I pray for all of you. As we study together, as we pray together, as we spend time together, we come to understand God in a newer, fuller way. Our circumstances outside of this building aren't going to change, but our hearts can as we grow closer. See, he had two requests that he made. The first request was for renewal or revival of God's working in the world and in individual lives. See, revival always has to begin with God, and that's actually what the prophet was asking. He wanted a revival in Judah. We need a revival in this world. Israel needed God to make himself known to them once again. One more time, Israel has slipped away from God. They turned their back. They allowed the world to creep in. They allowed sin to creep in. And he asked God to make himself known, to show himself one more time. He asked for God's work to come alive. At the same time, he was asking for his own faith to grow. You know, we forget about God so quick. We go from them high points in our lives where we say, look what God has done for me. Look how happy I am. God's at work in my life. And then we move forward and it grows dim and we forget. We turn away from God in our own way. Now, I'm not saying you fall back into past sin. You may not. But there's other things of the world that you allow to creep in, just like the nation of Israel did. They allowed the surrounding countries to bring in their ideas, lead them into worshiping false idols. Well, I got news for you. We live in a world that does the same thing. They creep into our lives through the TV set, through our movies, through the books that we read, and the games we play on our cell phones. It creeps in. And gradually, God's light dims in our eyes. Gradually, we turn away from him and become more occupied with the things of the world. And that's sin. At some point in time, God's going to change us. We're going to pay for the sin in our lives. We're going to need a correction, just like Israel did. Now, he may not bring in an invading army like the Chaldeans to destroy, but he may bring something else into your life to get your attention one more time. The prophet wanted God to manifest his grace upon Israel. If there's going to be a revival, the stirring of our hearts has to come from God. It has to come from us first. You've probably all heard the story of the English evangelist, Gypsy Smith. Somebody asked him how to start a revival. And he said, go home to your private place, kneel down on the floor, draw a chalk circle around you and start to pray. He says, when them prayers are answered, you've started a revival. Basically, what he's saying is, revival should start in each and every one of us first. We can't expect to start a fire in anybody else if we don't have a fire in ourselves. Habakkuk was asking for a revival for the nation of Israel. It had to happen in him first. He had to come to an understanding and a realization of who God was and his sovereignty and his right to correct sin in the nation of Israel. I want to tell you right now, the Lord is ready at this moment, this very moment, to start a revival in your heart. But we have to get right with him first. I can stand here and say with all assurance that there is no one in this room that doesn't have sin in their lives. And I can say that because the Bible says that. So get out your pencils. I want you to write these down. There's places on the back of the bulletins there entitled it, How to Have a Revival. You know, are you one of those believers that maybe your heart's starting to grow cold? Maybe you're becoming a little bit indifferent to the Lord as you allow work, school, family issues to maybe drain away your strength? Well, we're going to lay down the groundwork today. This is stuff all of you probably already know. But we're going to write it down. Number one, acknowledge your need. You can't go forward if you don't acknowledge that you have a need in your life. You have to admit to yourself that you are a sinner. You have to admit that you've allowed the things of this world to interfere with your relationship with God. You have to admit that you're not the person that God calls you to be. Number two, confess your sins to the Lord. All those things that maybe you're not sure is right or wrong. The things that when you first become a Christian, you gave up, but now they're starting to creep back into your life. And let's face it, some of us have sins that we know are sins. We call them sins, and we do them anyway. We have to give all that up. Number three, spend time daily in God's Word, listening to God. Read your Bible. You can't get closer to God if you don't know what He's saying. Maybe you have some questionable actions in your life. The Bible is going to reveal whether you should be doing them or not. Number four, talk to your Heavenly Father in prayer. Notice I didn't say pray to the Father. I said talk to the Father in prayer. Prayer should be a conversation. You don't need some formal format you follow when you pray. You can start out with, hey, God, I have a problem. God, I need to talk. God, something's bothering me. It doesn't matter the topic. God's there, and He's ready to listen. And you have to have prayer when you read your Bible. You need the Holy Spirit interpreting, helping you to understand what you're reading. Those two go hand in hand. Number five, determined to say no to every temptation of the world, of the flesh, and of Satan. Now there's the hard one. Determined to say no. What makes it hard is, I can tell you right here that you don't have the strength to say no to every temptation of the world and of Satan. And that's when we fall back on Numbers 3 and 4. That's where your strength comes from. Don't ever think that you're stronger than Satan, because you're not. Don't think that you're ever stronger than the temptations of the world, because you're not. But Numbers 3 and 4 will give you the strength that you need from the very source of the power that you need to overcome and be able to say no to temptation, say no to sin that have crept into your life. And then number six is say yes to God. Again, you'll probably need the power of Numbers 3 and 4. But when God speaks to you, when God talks to you, you have to listen and you have to obey. You have to be willing to step out and do whatever He calls. In 1 John 4:4, it tells us that the power in us is greater than the power of Satan. And you know, I've had so many people tell me, well, I pray, I talk to God, but God never answers me. I never hear God talk. I want to challenge you today to read your Bible and to pray. And then look around and see if things aren't changing in your life. Maybe a relationship that you have just starts to change just a little bit. Well, that's God talking through your circumstances. Look around. Maybe you're just a little less critical of your neighbor, a family member, a coworker. That's God speaking to you. That's God answering your prayers. That's God drawing you in and changing you to help you understand. So first of all, let's individually meet the conditions for revival. Let's try to do those six things in our lives and see if we don't have a different outlook on those around us, a different outlook on the world around us, just like the prophet Habakkuk did. His second request evolved right out of the first. He knew God was going to judge Israel because of the presence of sin. He realized that Judah deserved to be chastised because of that sin. But his intercession was that God would show His mercy in the midst of His wrath. Habakkuk didn't ask to escape the coming judgment. He just asked God to remember His love and His compassion. He pleads for God to remember His promise that He made to Israel when the judgment comes. God's wrath is inevitable. It's the outcome for those who break the covenant with him. Disobedience, injustice, violence, the shedding of innocent blood is what the nation of Judah was facing. But we don't want to think ourselves high and mighty, because sin is sin. And the sin that we have in our lives, we deserve the chastisement that we get too. Habakkuk called on God to remember his people with mercy when they were judged. And we need to do the same thing. Charles Spurgeon says, whether we like it or not, asking is the rule of the kingdom. All this go hand in hand with getting down on our knees and humbling ourselves, admitting our sins before God, admitting that we deserve to be chastised. We deserve to be judged for those sins. But we also get down on our knees and we pray and we ask for mercy as God judges us and changes us. And frankly, as God grows us, if we do it right, if we stay connected to God and we come out of the fire on the other side, more of the chaff is burned away. We're a little bit more Christ-like. And that was God's intent for the nation of Israel, for Judah. As they come through this punishment, they will remember him. They will remember his promises. They'll remember the miracles that he performed when they were on the way to the promised land, the pillar of fire, the clouds, how he took care of them with manna and with water. So quickly they forgot. So quickly they turned away from the God that protected them and led them to the promised land. And so quickly we as a people forget the God that brought us up out of our filth, gave us life, eternal life through Jesus Christ, and yet we live our lives in such a way that we turn our back on him. We can't judge Israel for what they did, because we do the same thing. Take a moment and remember the joy and the happiness that you had when you first found Christ. When God opened up your heart to who he was, to who Christ was. Habakkuk gives us a prayer here, and I hope you will read the whole thing when you go home today. It talks about the fear and the trembling. It said in verse 4, his brightness was like the light he had rays flashing from his hand, and there his power was hidden. He's trying to bring to remembrance the power of God. The power of God on that journey and the power of God in our lives. God has this power, but he controls it in such a way he doesn't overpower his people. Look at the sun that he provides for us in the sky. We can see it every day. We feel its warmth. And yet we have to remember this controlled power, because if we get too close, we'll be burned up in an instant. So God will reveal himself in such a way that you're protected. But you'll know he's there. Verse 5 says, before him went pestilence, and fever followed at his feet. Habakkuk's reminding us that things are coming. Chapter 6 of Revelation tells us that pestilence will come before the Lord comes back to earth. Verse 6 says, he stood and measured the earth. He looked and startled the nations. And the everlasting mountains were scattered, perpetual hills bowed, and his ways are everlasting. You know, just so happens I was working on this more this week, and the news come on about the volcano in Hawaii, how terrible that was, and the earthquakes that happened last week, and I wonder if that's not God just standing and looking, and that's the earth trembling. I know there's all kinds of scientific explanations of everything that's going on. But me in my heart of hearts just can't help but wondering if it's not God preparing to judge his people. I'm not a doomsday person, and I'm not trying to tell you that that's God's hand. I'm just telling you that I believe that God is going to judge his people for his sins, for their sins. And I can't help wonder, again, this is just me, New Orleans, California, they seem to be getting the worst of it. But in my mind, they are the worst of it. Nothing against Californians. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying that, as Habakkuk said, we deserve the punishment that we're going to get. And I pray and I ask for God's mercy, not because I want to duck it or run from it, but because he's a loving God. And the law of the land is we do pray and ask. Habakkuk's prayer, his petition, he put before God is certainly one we need to put in place. We need to start a revival first in our own hearts, and then we'll better be able to have a revival in this group and in this world to reach out. Let's all stand together. Just bow our heads. We'll have a moment in prayer. I want you to think a minute what it would be like for God to come down again, for God to treat us the way we deserve to be treated. He has that right. He is righteous, and he is sovereign. We can't say that we haven't been warned, that we haven't been told.